We consider the events that are around us today. Father, as Christians, we first of all are excited and blessed. Blessed that we might know what's in store because you've been such a good God as to let us know. And Father, at the same time, we look around at the world and we pray, Father, that you might use us more and more in this church and in wherever we might traffic and travel. Father, that we might spread the news and be bold from here on out. If we were not bold before, may we get bold now to tell people that the very things that we're seeing foretell of a wonderful coming Jesus Christ, but also a very terrible and brutal time. So, Father, help us to understand the Scriptures clearly. We ask it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Give your attentions to the screens.
Good evening, once again. For decades now, the Middle East peace process has been an absolute labyrinth, a winding maze for world leaders who have ever wandered into this arena. Colin Powell will do it again within 24 hours. But even as we sit here and speak tonight, the tension, even on the streets of Jerusalem, still very thick. Even a simple police siren gets a lot of people to take a double take. That is the way it is here in the Middle East. Let's start tonight with the headlines again, once again. The Israeli military right now saying it's withdrawing troops once again from three small towns in the West Bank. Two of those towns are near Hebron. One is near Jenin. Israel says it's already made several arrests there and uncovered a number of laboratories for explosives. Meanwhile, a suicide bombing today, early this morning in the port city of Haifa. Eight people dead, including the niece of Israel's ambassador to the UN. The Prime Minister, Ariel Sharon, went to visit troops today in Jenin in the West Bank. He told them, quote, they were in the center of terror and pledged to continue the current fight until the job is done. Also again, this time tomorrow, Secretary of State Colin Powell will be here in the region in Jerusalem. He'll call on Ariel Sharon on Friday, Yasser Arafat on Saturday this weekend. I want to get to a closer look now at what happened early this morning. A commuter bus en route from Haifa to Jerusalem, just a bit past 7 a.m. It was a crowded morning rush hour. Eyewitnesses say the suicide bomber climbed on board, and within 15 minutes, sitting in the third row behind the driver's seat, it was bloodshed. Again, eight dead, 14 wounded. Among the dead, the UN ambassador from Israel, his 18-year-old niece. Tonight, Chris Burns was there in Haifa. The blast was so powerful, witnesses say it lifted the bus off the ground. A packed commuter express on its way from the northern port of Haifa to Jerusalem. Police say the suicide bomber got on near Haifa's industrial outskirts, wearing an explosives belt. Minutes later, just after 7 a.m., he blew himself up.
The blast scattered body parts in a wide radius from the bus here along the highway and the fields of the kibbutz nearby.
The condition, is for sure you know, that is not a regular death condition. It was a part from this bomb, you know, you never find a whole body. It was, many bodies was almost full, but a lot of parts of bodies.
More than a dozen survivors are hospitalized, some in serious condition. The government of Prime Minister Ariel Sharon blames Palestinian Authority President Yasser Arafat. One more reason, say the Israelis, to maintain their siege of Arafat's compound in Ramallah. The bus bombing is the first suicide attack in Israel in 10 days, the second since the Israeli offensive in the West Bank began, aimed at rooting out what the government calls the infrastructure of terror. Chris Burns, CNN, near Haifa, Israel.
Well, there's a lot going on in the world, as you can imagine, regarding what's taking place. And a couple of things that if you were with us last time in some of our updates together, we immediately had a series of updates following the September 11th attacks. And it was voiced then from international news and from those friends of ours in the Israeli forces that they had long time been warned. Israel, in fact, had been warning the United States that an impending attack would come on American soil. And those warnings, as you know now, were taken lightly at best. And so the events of September 11th began what the West would refuse to acknowledge and even still at this hour refuses to confess. It is not a popular thing to say, and yet it is nonetheless the truth. And that is, since September 11th, an official jihad has been declared on all non-Muslims around the world. And that is exactly what's happened since September 11th. We have seen a radical escalation of bombings and murderous events throughout the world, certainly in the areas Jakarta, Sudan, and others, where Christians have been specifically targeted and killed. It has been estimated that since September 11th, there have been more Christians killed worldwide than in the last 3 years. And so this is a very, very serious time. And yet in the West, we're not hearing much about that in our normal media. It's not a popular thing to speak about. But there's amazing events that are taking place as the hours go by. And if you saw the news today, there has been an escalation now. Syria has moved its troops to the northern borders of Israel. And the world is questioning Assad. You know, the king or the leader of Syria is a very young man, and they're wondering what is wrong with him to be pressuring Israel to act. And he was warned today by the United States and by Russia, back off, because you don't mess with Israel right now. She's under pressure. Don't mess with Israel. And it is a fact. CNN reported today that Israel has enough conventional, not nuclear, of course it has that, but Israel has enough conventional weapons to destroy Syria, they said, within 30 minutes. Syria knows this. But there's an unusual boldness tonight with Syria. This on the heels of the last few days of the Lebanese Hezbollah. The Hezbollah, which, by the way, the leader of the Hezbollah was once a Princeton professor. For those of us who are bound to the West, we can't even fathom that. But let that be a little hint to you about how I believe soon we will all in America be receiving wake-up calls from one form to the next. But we live in a dangerous time, and Hezbollah in the last 2 days has been launching rockets into northern Israel. And now Israel has responded against the Hezbollah with helicopter and rocket attacks. Why? Because Israel has been attacked by Hezbollah from the north. Why is Israel right now? Why has Israel in this last several weeks been going house to house in the West Bank and Gaza? And by the way, I don't know if you've heard this yet, but if you haven't, you heard it here first. Jericho's next. They're going to be going house to house, and they have been, to root out and to arrest certain key terrorists that they know of. And they're letting the innocent go. Unfortunately, as they go from house to house, they have been finding and destroying laboratories that are making explosive weapons. And two Israeli Apache attack helicopters completely destroyed a metal shop, as it was reported here in the West. It was a metal shop that was used for producing car parts. Well, if you know anything about how the Muslim extremists and Hezbollah and these other terrorist groups work, they mask what they do behind such doors. And what did they find? They found exactly a mortar manufacturing plant, which, by the way, when Israelis went through it, they confiscated what was left over and presented it in film, on video, to the world. And I'm wondering if any of you saw all of that military cash that Israel captured that was not only being modified to come against Israel, but in fact had been traced to Soviet manufacturers, Russian manufacturers, sold to Iraq and Iran, and then shipped over to Yasser Arafat's people. And these missiles and these launchers that they possessed were all in violation to the UN agreement. But you're not hearing anything about that right now. And it's for good reason. When Israel finally began to make its advance and put under sequester Yasser Arafat Israel, if you know, if you have had any mind or eye for the news, Israel warned Arafat to reel in the terrorist for months. And they challenged him. If you are the leader of the Palestinian people, reel them in. If you have authority, stop them. Well, all of the Muslim world said he's got the authority. Come to find out, either he does not have the authority or he wasn't willing to reel them in. And so Israel, after the series of the famous suicide bombings that began with, as you know, what's now called the Sabbath or Passover massacre, where suicide bomber wrapped himself with heavy explosives, walked into a worship service, and blew himself and many others up. From that point on, Israel said, that's it. If Arafat will not stop this, you're telling us you're not for the suicide bombings, then we're going to help you. You're killing our people on our soil, so we're going to help you. We mean no harm to any innocent people. However, Israel said we encourage innocent people to get away from those who are guilty. Now, that's a fair warning. Very, more than fair. And so Israel went in and immediately surrounded Arafat's compound, and he has been under house arrest basically ever since. Since that time, until just the last 2 days, there was no suicide bombings taking place. But now there is again. Yesterday, today. I talked to Amir at 1 a.m. Israel time today, just before noon our time. And that bus that you saw blew up 5 minutes from his house. He could hear the explosion from his home. And he told me, he said, listen, he said, what's with your president? I said, I don't know. I don't know what he's on right now or what he's doing. But I'm sure God's in control. But if you've seen the news, President Bush, in very strong terms, is calling Israel to back down from this act of aggression and incursion. Now, personally, we should, under that logic, we should cease immediately our war on terrorism, because we are absolute hypocrites this evening. And we are disgusting to me in the eyes of the world. Israel is fighting for its existence. However, we know something maybe Israel doesn't know tonight. The Bible says that once Israel is brought back into the land, they shall never again be uprooted. And on May 14th, 1948, Israel was brought back into the land. She's not going anywhere. God says so. Things may get rough and things certainly will get tough, but Israel is not going anywhere. What's interesting to me is how the media is spinning all of the stuff that you're hearing and seeing. You are hearing that Israel is occupying Palestine. Palestine, by the way, the root word Philistine or Philistia, is an age-old enemy of Israel. If you don't understand what's going on in the Middle East, let me make it simple for you, truly. I can solve it for you tonight. I truly can. There will always be a war against Israel and those who are inside the land of Israel until, first of all, the Antichrist comes. You heard me right. The Antichrist. The Antichrist will come, the Bible says, book of Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27, and he will offer, the Bible says, a peace treaty, a covenant, an agreement for peace. And I want to challenge you tonight. For now 10 years, the United States of America has been involved in brokering and bartering a peace treaty between Israel and the Philistines. But every one of those agreements have failed before they ever got off the ground. Why? Because they have to fail. Know this. As far as I'm concerned, anyone outside these walls can be ignorant and stay ignorant if they so choose to. But inside these walls, you better be informed people. And the Bible says there will be no peace until ultimately Jesus Christ comes back. But the Bible says that There's going to be a false Christ that will arise who will broker a 7-year peace treaty between Israel and its neighbors. God is so good to us that He's even used America to offer up some of these peace treaties to get people's attention. And if that weren't enough, God had the Philistines and Israel on the White House lawn signing the agreement in the early 90s to get the world's attention. All this was in the Bible. But if that still doesn't get your attention, what's interesting, if you get into the homework of the peace treaties, for example, offered up by Bill Clinton, one of those peace treaties Clinton offered was a guarantee for peace and of peace, literally, for the duration of, guess how many years? 7 years. Did you know that? Why is this happening? To wake us up to what's going on around us. Ladies and gentlemen, what's going on in the Middle East is not going to stop. It will not go away. Since the advent of September 11th, there's a jihad that's been declared worldwide on all Jews and all Christians and those who aid them and assist them. In the words of Osama bin Laden himself, "I have nothing against the American people. They're fine people." He says, "I like Americans." But any American who's a taxpayer is a contributor to war and the Jewish state. And so they have declared us ones to be attacked. There is a report filing today that Osama bin Laden is in Iran, safe, and planning and plotting his next attack. I don't know if that's true or not, to be quite honest with you. Our military, our CIA, they're going to see to it that bin Laden is never found, and it will never be known if he's alive or dead. I want you to know that. You heard that here first, too, okay? Bin Laden, to us, is more valuable, quote, on the run, than dead. As long as bin Laden is alive, we can justify our military excursions into any country in the world. He's more important to us alive than dead. Even if he should choke on his falafel tonight, you will not hear about it. Bin Laden cannot die. He must live on for the United States to justify its war on terrorism. But if Israel is to embark upon a war on terrorism, it's to be condemned. Israel is to be shut down. Israel is to receive, as it is mentioned today, sanctions from the UN and from the European Union, demanding that Israel pull back its forces immediately, or sanctions will be imposed upon Israel. And in fact, even now, the German government, who supplies tools for the Israeli tank to keep it going, will not send those tools to Israel starting as of yesterday, because they said, "Back off on your terror against the Palestinians, and then we'll give you the parts that you need." Now listen, Israel is in contract with Germany to supply those parts. Germany says, "We're not sending them to you." Europe is boycotting Israel. Why? Because Israel has launched a war on terrorism. The United States has launched a war on terrorism. But nobody's boycotting us. There's a double standard here going on. See, Jack, you're getting excited about it. I am excited about it, but I'm just kind of leading you on a little bit. Here's the reason why. The Bible says, in fact, let me read it to you, Zechariah chapter 12, verse 1, 2, and 3. It says, "The burden of the word of the Lord against Israel. Thus says the Lord, who stretches out the heavens and lays the foundations of the earth, and forms the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling to all surrounding nations. And when they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem, and it shall happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all nations. And all nations who heave it away shall surely be cut in pieces, though every nation of the earth be gathered against Israel." And right now, people, as of yesterday, Even the United States joined with UN sanctions, threatening to boycott Israel and to sanction Israel until or unless it stops its act of defending itself. This is absolutely unheard of. And today, Ariel Sharon told George Bush, who, by the way, they're friends, to mind your own business. Israel is fighting for its existence. Now listen, for those of you who are a little bit savvy in Middle East talk, it is a well-known thing that no neighboring country near Israel or Muslim state ever wants to hear Israel mention the word existence. It's something that has been long known, long understood since 1948. When you hear Israel use the word existence, you back off. Why? Because all of Israel's neighbors know that there is what has been termed the Masada complex. The Masada complex is coined after the Masada self-implemented suicide of Jewish zealots who escaped the yoke of Rome, who made their flee to Masada, that rocky, mountainous hideout. And when they took Masada and occupied it, they were sustained there for, I believe, if I remember, some 3 years with all the water, all the food, everything they needed self-contained. But when Rome, who finally built a rampart to lay siege to Masada and to conquer the Jews that were there. You see, the surviving Jews would not bow to Caesar. That so drove the Roman Empire mad that they launched an attack to conquer Masada. But on the eve of that mountaintop being taken, before the Roman legion came rushing in, the Jews atop that mountain drew straws. The men drew straws, and they began to tell their families, if we don't dedicate ourselves in death tonight, the Romans will come in, they'll take our children as captives, they'll rape all of our women, and they'll kill all of us men. So let's go out with dignity. And they worshiped the Lord. They had a Passover meal. And the families lay down to sleep, and while the families had fallen asleep, the father of each home slit the throats of their children and wives, and then a man was designated as those fathers laid still, slit those throats, and then the final man terminated himself. And in the morning, Rome came in to an empty victory, and the term was then coined, never again, Masada. Will never be taken. The Masada complex. Israel will never be taken. Now, of course, we know that Israel shall not be taken, because the Bible says it won't be. However, Israel predominantly is a land, is a people brought back into its country in unbelief, exactly as the scripture says. But when they say, as Ariel Sharon says today, we're fighting for our existence, that sent a wave throughout the Middle East community. They know what that means, that Israel will unleash nuclear power if necessary to its own destruction, rather than be taken captive by a Muslim world. You guys, we're living at a radical time. The clock has started ticking. Things will not turn back. I want to tell you tonight, this is a family church gathering together this evening. I want you to prepare for two things. I want you to make sure that you are ready to meet Jesus Christ in the air at any moment. Be ready for the rapture of the church. At the same time, be ready for Muslim extremists to be launching attacks against American soil. It will come. Law enforcement agencies have been warned by the FBI regarding 12 U.S. cities since December that hold the potential for major Muslim attack against its native houses of worship, be it Christian or Jewish. And one of those cities is yours truly, Los Angeles. You will see, unless the Lord takes us out of here, you will see attack in America. The reason why President Bush, who knew what to say at the time, when he said this will be a long protracted war, this war on terror, That was a very nice political way of saying, this ain't gonna go away. And lo and behold, tonight, Tom Ridge, director of the Homeland Security, announced it today on MSNBC. This now shall be the American way of life. And you're sitting here, quite possibly tonight, comfortable thinking, well, it's not so bad. It's not so bad until you hear of the first suicide bomber in Los Angeles, which will happen. There have been plans already thwarted against these very things. A suicide bomber traveling down the 91 freeway near the Valley View off-ramp in an 18-wheeler gasoline truck with a highlighted entrance map into Disneyland made an illegal lane change and was pulled over by, thank God, a watchful CHP officer who, when asked to see the identification of the driver, the driver had New York driver's license, but unfortunately they were expired. And unfortunately, or fortunately for us, they were not even his. And the man was arrested and taken into custody by the FBI out of the sheriff station, the nearest sheriff station in that area. Why was there a rather large private, I'll call it a yacht, that was rented by four Saudi Arabian men? A yacht rented and taken out and left parked at the exit or entrance of the Los Angeles Harbor. We say, what's wrong with that? I think it's kind of strange when you rent a yacht with no engine in it and you tow it to that site. What were they planning on doing? Why has the FBI been pursuing and monitoring and putting out bulletins regarding rental cars throughout Wyoming and Montana with multiple gasoline tanks filled up in the trunk with possible C4 explosive materials on board the car? What is this going on? Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that God's grace has kept us safe thus far. You must understand there is a jihad declared. And you might say, well, Jack, you know, that might just be a few fanatics. You guys, we have over 1,000 illegal Muslim extremists loose in the United States right now, unaccounted for. We can't find them. Go to the FBI website. They may have a blurb, a recent blurb on that right now. What is going on? There is a coordinated event taking place regarding this jihad, the United States and Israel. If the United States is rendered inoperable or somehow unable to respond, Israel, the Muslim world thinks, is a cakewalk. But the big brother is still pretty healthy right now. That's us. Those of you who have been to Israel, you've seen the t-shirts that are there. It says, Israel, your 51st state. That's how close Israel feels with us. Interesting. And the world knows it. But tonight, we, the United States, I should say the United States, not us, are joining in on these sanctions against Israel. Be warned. The Bible says that those who curse Israel, I will curse. Now look, I'm not asking you to agree with everything Israel does. I don't. But be careful if you criticize Israel. God will not take that sitting down. God owns Israel. Keep that in mind. And in fact, on that topic, I want to bring this to your attention tonight. Did you know that in the Quran, Jerusalem is not mentioned one time? And yet Muslims say that Jerusalem is its third most holy place. Well, that's interesting. Did you know it was not declared its third most holy place until 1949? Did you know that? It wasn't declared its third most holy site until after May 14, 1948. See, nobody wanted Israel. And then Israel, as God's word said, would come back into the land. Then everybody wanted Israel. And the cry, listen, the cry tonight is, we just want a Palestinian state. Time out. If you want a Palestinian state, why? So we might dwell and live in peace and worship in peace. Okay. If Jerusalem was not a sacred site until 1949, how long have you wanted a state? Well, we've always wanted a state, they say. Then if you take a look at the map, at the Muslim world, you know, there's a lot of land in Saudi Arabia. There's a lot of land in Iran and Iraq. Why would somebody want that particular little piece of dirt? If you want to be a Palestinian people with your own sovereign state, why don't you ask one of your Arab brother nations to give you 10 times that size? Ah, you'll say, Jerusalem is our third most holy site. Well, okay, let's give you the benefit of the doubt. If it's your third most holy site, it's the first holy site to Jews and Christians. What do you think of that? You see, the issue is not a sovereign state. That is a bunch of, in Egypt, they would have called it bull. It's the Temple Mount. And it has nothing to do even with the physical aspect of the Temple Mount. The issue is spiritual. And here's the answer to the question about how can this be explained easily. Don't blurt out the answer. You may be wrong. Who occupied that land first? Who lived there first? And the answer is a lot of weird people. There were people of all kinds of pagan, strange backgrounds. God calls them Philistines. There is the Perizzites, the Hittites, a bunch of them. And they all had these little tribal states, and they all warred against each other. And it was a mess. Okay? Then God gets attention to some guy by the name of Abraham. And God takes Abraham on a walk. And God tells Abraham, look at that country. See that country over there? That's yours. As far as your eye can see, that's yours. With all those people living on it, God says, that's yours. Now watch this. Who was there first? The other guys. And if you have no regard for God and spiritual matters, you're for the other guy. Let that be a litmus test to people who claim to be Christians, by the way. If they're anti-Israeli and Jewish, they don't know anything about the Bible. Because here's the story. God told Abraham, that's your land and your descendants forever. Okay, then what happens? Israel comes out of Egypt. Joshua takes the lead and brings the children of Israel into Israel. Are you with me? God tells Joshua, drive them all out. Well, wait a minute. Time out. UN sanctions. God, I can't do this. Who's going to sell us pomegranates? I mean, who are you going to get our donkeys from? The UN's going to get all ticked off. God says, I don't care about the UN or anybody else. I made this world. And I promised to your father Abraham that that's the land I'm going to give you. Go and take the land. It's promised to you. Joshua goes in, takes the land. Based on what? The promise. It's the promise, spiritual, versus the physical squatter's rights. One is purely flesh, the other one is purely spiritual. That's why the Temple Mount, by the way, the last residing point of the temple and the ark and all of that. And by the way, God is still very much ready to do more on that piece of soil. It comes down to squatter's rights or promise by God. And I want to show you the pattern of how these things work. The flesh always comes first in everything. That's why Jesus says you must be born again. Why? The flesh comes into this world and it takes control. Why? Because it's here first. I'm here. And it's like a spoiled child, and it says, look, I have my rights, and I don't care about the promise. I was here first. And in some ways, you could see their point. But God exists. And God has spoken, and God makes clear His word. And so, for example, if the flesh is born first and is holding us captive, Jesus says we must be born again in the Spirit to overcome the flesh. The flesh comes before the Spirit, but the Spirit wins out. The Middle East is a perfect little indicator of the spiritual life. The flesh, Philistines, are demanding that it's theirs and that Israel is the occupier. That's true if God does not exist. Are you with me? But if God is real, and if Israel is a nation, and if the Bible is true, then it must be given to the children of promise. This is one of the key reasons why and how we know we are living at the very brink of the last days. Because the issue is now before all of the leaders of the world, on every news channel, that it is between the flesh and the spirit, though the world doesn't understand, but you do, don't you? You turn on the TV and you know exactly what's going on. Isn't it amazing? You know before it happens what's going to take place. You know that all the nations of the world will come against Israel, don't you? Including America. That's exactly what's happening right now. The European Union announced yesterday that 27% of Israeli exports are dependent upon the EU. And so the EU met to draw up resolutions to how to boycott Israel, to harm it financially, to bring it down to an area of parity to its Palestinian neighbor. You've got to be careful with that kind of talk, because that's almost an act of war against Israel. Reuters News Service, the European Union dismissed Israel's partial withdrawal from the Palestinian areas, too little, too late, and demanded an immediate ceasefire to keep the Middle East peace process alive. Alive. I circled that. Are you kidding me? Alive? It was never alive. What a bunch of clowns. This is ridiculous. Alive. The Arabs and the Jews together have already declared Colin Powell's visit. He doesn't get there until, well, it's this morning now. So he's arriving now. They've already determined Colin Powell's trip a disaster because you can't do anything about it. So why waste the time, you know? The European Commissioner of External Affairs, Chris Pattern, told the European Parliament, a debate on the crisis, that the EU foreign ministers meet next Monday. We will want to consider the gravity of the situation and discuss how we can cause Israel to feel our concerns. It says here in this article, this is, by the way, taken off of Netscape, CNN, Crossfire, that this is now the European Union's way of exerting power over Israel that prior to this, only the United States had such influence. Did you hear that? That is key. That the European Union, up until now, had no way of being a viable power broker as long as the United States was wheeling and dealing with Israel. But now, where much of the export dollars between the EU, the European Union, and Israel is at stake, the European Union is going to use that for leverage now to cause Israel to bow to its demand. I'm wondering, is anybody getting what I'm hinting about here? Out of the ancient Roman Empire, the EU, will arise a guy that we call the Antichrist. I find this very significant that this week, the European Union is quite excited about the fact that they now finally have some sort of leverage power in the Middle East process. And they're very, very excited about that, and they have excluded England out of it because England's not for it. The European Union traditionally has played a second fiddle to the United States in Middle East diplomacy, partly because of its own divisions and partly because Israel sees it as a pro-Palestinian world, but no further. Interesting. Very powerful stuff. And so, we have this article from the Jerusalem Post, United Nations, April 9th. The Security Council, emergency consultation meeting Sunday night, demanded an immediate Israeli withdrawal from the West Bank and an immediate implementation of recent UN resolutions calling for a ceasefire. I just want to insert this. How come the UN has never issued a ceasefire of terrorists and suicide bombers? In a statement released by the Council President Sergei Lavrov of Russia, the 15-member group said it is, quote, seriously concerned at the further deterioration of the situation and violation of the international humanitarian law on the Palestinian people, including many victims among the civilian population and threat of the destruction of the Palestinian Authority. Where were they today when innocent people were blown up on a bus? Do you see the double standard? Are you following this? Why would Israel be required to back off? By the way, it is going to great lengths not to hurt any civilian people. In fact, the 13 soldiers who were killed yesterday, did you know that Israel first considered, the Israeli Air Force first considered a deployment of one F-16 Falcon fighter jet to that location to blow it up because Israel had strong indications that there was an amassing of weaponry and terrorist activity down that street in Jenin. The decision was made by Israel's top general. No. Because we know how the Palestinians work. They load themselves up with weapons among innocent people, even their own families. So let's not do that. And they risked sending in a deployment of guys, soldiers. But as you well know now, it was an area that had been well stocked with heavy weapons. And bombs were put on in the rooms, against the wall, out to the street. The soldiers were lured in to the street where bombs behind the walls on each side of the street were rigged, ready to blow. Snipers on top, well armed with high-powered rifles, awaited the arrival of the Israeli soldiers. When the soldiers went down the street, a suicide bomber ran toward them. The signal was the detonation of the suicide bomber would then call or be the calling card for the Muslim extremists inside the buildings lining the alley. The moment the suicide bomber blew himself up, they detonated themselves in their houses with their families. Listen, at that, the snipers picked off those guys that were remaining. Where did I get this news? Two places. Fox News and from an Israeli soldier. You can probably get it from the Jerusalem Post by now. It's nothing secret. It was a perfect ambush. You'll see the word in your papers or in your email news updates, ambush. Just look for the word ambush and read it. They're egging Israel on. You guys, they're not going to back down. There's a reason why they're doing this. Palestinians, Syrians, Saudi Arabians, Lebanese, are strapping bombs to themselves and the like and blowing themselves up like never before. Why? Jihad. Allah has declared this to start. Read the Quran. Well, I don't ever want to say that. I honestly don't encourage anybody to read the Quran. I'll tell you the reason why. I'm not afraid of what's in the Quran. But I can't pick up the Quran and read it without feeling demonic presence around my life. So that's why I take back what I just said. You should read the Quran. I don't think you should read it. I think you're asking for trouble. However, if you feel honestly that you have the spiritual protection and God is leading you to do that, start with chapter 9 of that book. And you'll read in there how Jews and Christians are to be killed around the world. Say, really? It says Jews and Christians? Yes, it was written post-7th century. Okay? That's another reason why, too, that Israel is Israel's property. It's not holy to the Muslims. It's not something that is sacred when Islam didn't even exist until the 7th century. Israel's been in the hands of the Jewish people for 3,300 years or more. Go figure that. Well, here's the deal. We're living in a time where people are absolutely afraid to death to say anything. And I'm here to tell you, I don't want this church to be spoon-fed its information by the media, which absolutely hates Israel. If you're not sure about that, turn on CNN. CNN is absolutely disgusting. But I watch them because I want to know what my enemy thinks. But a few things I want to point out to you tonight. This is a critical hour we're in. As I said earlier, Israel at this hour says it's fighting for its existence. That's a serious thing. To date, in the last 18 months, Israel's loss of life to suicide bombers has been 8 times greater than the number lost at the Pentagon and World Trade Center combined per capita. What does that mean? There would have had to have been 25,000 people killed in the World Trade Center to equal the ratio of Israeli dead in the last 18 months since the suicide bombings have started. Did you understand what I said? There's so few people living in Israel that are Jewish, that are Israeli, that when the suicide bombers took their most recent, it didn't include this morning's people, it's equivalent to 25,000 Americans dying. Does that mean anything to us? I hope so. It would be equivalent to the World Trade Center going down. Say, what is that, 2,300 people? That happening in all of maybe America's major cities or more? Think about it. You see, we got to wake up, people. It's not just Israel. It's not just 9,000 miles away. It's going to come here. It has to. It's jihad. And if you're going to be a fundamental Muslim, a Muslim fundamentalist, a Quran-believing Muslim, you must carry out jihad. Don't even lie to me. Don't tell me after this service, well, we think jihad can also mean, you know, boycotting Disneyland. No, I've heard this. Listen, I'm telling you. Then why in the Quran does it say to make sure that your dagger is sharp, that when you kill the infidel animal, it doesn't suffer long when you kill him? No, jihad's very clear. And it's funny that all of the fundamental Muslims know exactly what jihad means. Ask the people in Jakarta, Indonesia, Sudan. Who in Sudan, for being a Christian, you would have been mutilated, skin torn off your body alive. Your eyes cut out of your head, beheading, your hands and feet cut off. In the Sudan, because and only because you would not say Allah is God. Tens of thousands of Christians have died. But who cares? That's a long ways away, right? It's coming. I was sadly amused on one of the news channels today that said, had a caption, "Winning the War on Terror." And Jesus said that in Matthew 24, that in the last days lawlessness will abound and the love of many will grow cold. Evil's going to get worse. The Middle East crisis must worsen, according to the Bible. A little bit of information. 100% of the declared ceasefire agreements between the Israelis and Palestinians, 100% of them have been violated by the Palestinian Authority under Yasser Arafat's control. Each suicide bomber leaves behind a videotape prior to that person's mission, claiming that Allah is great and that the Quran is holy. As they march to their death, explode themselves, or do whatever their mayhem is listed out for them, their family is paid at least $30,000 from Iran and Iraq for their suicide bombing effort. Did you hear that? Iran and Iraq are paying the families at least $30,000 to produce a suicide bomber son or daughter. The French government has reported that anti-Semitic attacks and riots have not been this heated or widespread in France since 1939. That's been in the last 7 days. The German government has reported that anti-Semitism and violent attacks have not been this prevalent in Germany since 1936. That was reported this week. I don't know if any of you did good in history, but I think some of you might want to start caring about history a little bit. Start to see a pattern here. The world is turning against Israel exactly as the Bible said it would. At this hour, you know the sanctions are being considered against Israel. At this hour, Israel is mopping up yet another suicide bomber attack in Haifa. You already heard about that. By the way, they estimate 5 kilos of explosives were aboard that bus. At this hour, the Palestinian gunmen are still in the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem. By the way, it was earlier reported that Israeli snipers shot and killed a Catholic monk. Until this week, a Catholic monk interviewed, given a cell phone inside the Church of the Nativity, called out and said, "Listen, these guys stormed in here and took this church. We're being held here. We want them to leave." Listen, the monk told the Palestinian gunman, "We want you to leave." The Pope demanded that Israel withdraw its forces from around the Church of the Nativity. Wait a minute. The Pope should have said to the gunmen, "Get out of the church. You don't go to church anyway. You're Muslims. Get out of there." The custodians of the church say they're here. They're holding out. We don't want them here. We told them to leave. But the media is spinning it that Israel's got them surrounded and these poor guys are in this church. Israel said, "We promise not to hurt the church. We are not going to shoot and hurt the church." Our friend in Israel, and I'm not going to say his name because I got in trouble one time. So I'm not going to say his name. But you know who I'm talking about, right? Our friend in Israel said, they know exactly who's in the Church of the Nativity. That's why they're not going to back away from Bethlehem. There's some very bad boys in there. And those bad boys know where to hide when the going gets tough. And it's not the mall. It's in religious places. Because they know that an educated, civilized, normal world has some bit of respect and authority for religious places. But they don't. Interesting. Today, Secretary of State Colin Powell stated, quote, "Prime Minister Ariel Sharon is being defiant and somewhat stubborn." Does anybody know where Colin Powell might be from? What state he's from? Huh? The state of Jamaica. No, what? Anybody know what state he's from? Not where he was born, but where's he? I know that he has a home just very down the street from Lisa's uncle in Maryland. But I don't know if that's actually. Well, let's just say he lives in Maryland. I wonder what Colin Powell's attitude would be if, well, somebody mentioned Jamaica. Let's say Jamaica attacked Maryland. And the governor of Maryland tried to defend Maryland. I wonder what his feelings would be then. You see, you can make a comment like that, that the president of Israel is being defiant and stubborn. You can make a comment like that, but it's absolutely stupid. The president of Israel answers to Israeli people. They put him in office to call the right shots. You know what? I would hope to God that if the United States come under attack, that our president would be somewhat defiant and stubborn when the UN says, you should not, in fact, did they not tell us this? You should not respond and go against the Taliban, and you should not do that. Remember that? But Mr. Bush didn't even bat an eye at that. He said he had a job to do. You guys, I hope that you see that there's a very serious thing going on. And we could be at the end of the road for the church. The rapture could happen anytime. Of course, it could have happened 10 years ago. But God allowed us to see this stuff happening now. I don't know how much... Well, we got a little bit of time left. I want to read a few things through. And if we have some questions and answers, that's great if we have the time. But a few things. Possible scenarios. What can we expect on the tube next? It's possible, number one, option number one. It's possible that there is a very unstable ceasefire, a semi-withdrawal of Israeli troops from Palestinian-occupied areas. Did you hear how I phrased that? Good. Another feeble peace treaty attempt, which of course must fall. It will fail. The Bible says it will. That's possible. So it would be this. A very unstable ceasefire, which is nothing new to the region, right? And a semi-withdrawal of Israeli troops, from these Palestinian-occupied areas. Number two, a continued Israeli march against terrorism and an increase of global threats against Israel. That's highly likely. You got to remember, Israel believes it's fighting for existence, so it doesn't care what the UN votes on or what the EU says. If you're fighting for your life and you stub your toe, you're not going to stop to see if you bent your nail. You're going to fight for your life. That's where Israel's at right now. Number three, an increase in global coalition of Muslim Arab nations. That's forming right now, by the way. That's why I made it number three, because it's kind of happening now anyhow. But expect Jordan to waver. Well, how do you know that? Well, just only because in the tribulation period, the Bible says that Jordan is favorable toward Israel. So if we're anywhere near that time frame, I would expect Jordan. By the way, Jordan is very, very careful not to mess with Israel. We were told that by Jordanians when we were there last. We don't want to mess with Israel. Jordan will waver. According to the Bible, in Ezekiel chapter 38, Saudi Arabia will abstain from advancing with a Muslim coalition, even though tonight it's siding with Iran and Iraq, which is interesting. But you can expect increasing anti-Semitic activity, as it's already been reported in France, England. Did you see Sydney, Australia? The Israeli embassy was attacked in Sydney, Australia. And today, violent protests turned violent today in Bahrain against Americans and Jews. Expect to see greater riots worldwide against Israel. Again, it's happening in various countries, but I think it's going to increase. Number four, watch out for the United States to become overstretched, overspent, and tired of being the global cop. President Bush is in a tough spot. He inherited an extremely weak military. Clinton all but neutered the United States military power while he was in office. One of the most dangerous things is that he curtailed R&D spending on military resources, which is a dangerous thing. Any of you who are in business, whenever you cut back on your R&D budget, that's the sign of the end. If any of you do the stock market, if you see a company cutting back on R&D research, it's time for you to sell your stock quick. Because that's one of the first signs that a company is going under. It has no more incentive or power to invest in the future. It's trying to maintain. When the United States, under Clinton's administration, stopped or withdrew or cut back greatly its military spending, that was a huge mistake. And boy, are we feeling it now. Number five, a possible pause in activities. This is amazing. Possible pause in extreme Muslim activities until 2004. With hopes, listen, I'm not joking, I'll prove this in a moment to you, with hopes of a democratic victory in Washington. It's been coined as the Gore factor. I'm not joking. Hang on, don't laugh. This is serious, dangerous, horrible, horrible news. The Gore factor. The Gore factor came out of an FBI search of apartments and condos in Florida that were occupied by the Muslim terrorists that flew the planes into the World Trade Center and Pentagon and into the open field in Philadelphia. The Gore factor. The FBI and state of Florida law enforcement officials collected data from the apartments and condos of those World Trade Center terrorists with references to the fact that since President Bush won the presidency, it had come to a great surprise. Their plan must needs be then be accelerated before America could re-strengthen itself. Are you breathing? Anybody alive here right now? Do you hear that? Do you realize that now this makes sense? 9 years the Al-Qaeda had been preparing the World Trade Center attack. 9 years they were planning on attacking the structures the way they did with the airplanes. Those guys got their license. Those guys did their things. It was a long-term commitment. By the way, they drove nice cars. They lived in a nice places. And the American culture didn't persuade them. They went for it. They don't care if they drive Mercedes or Porsches. They got an agenda. It's Allah. Watch. The Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden were absolutely convinced that Al Gore was going to win the presidency. And they were banking on it, according to FBI data recovered. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know and I don't care how you voted, but you should. Something was going on in November. And you sat in this church and we fasted and we prayed and we made the announcement that something was wrong in the election. It was not a joke. It was a spiritual judgment of God. And I shared with you a personal thing that the Lord had laid upon my heart after much fasting and prayer, and it was this. And I hope you remember me sharing it with you. Jack, if my people pray, I'll give them a good king. If they don't pray, I'll give them an evil king. But will my people pray? And so we went to prayer. The presidency was not determined in the ballot box. It wasn't supposed to. But because God loves the law, in every court case, George Bush won the presidency almost 14 times. Did you know that? And in every recount, did you know this? The latest recount was done by four groups of entities, two conservative groups and two liberal groups, watched over by a university. And the recount gave Bush a larger victory than they had ever counted up previously. But that's not the point. The point was God was judging America to see who she wanted in office. I'm not saying anything mean against Al Gore at all. What I am saying is our enemy was hoping Al Gore would be put into office to take full advantage of the fact of a weak military and his inability to respond in the way that the U.S. has responded. Because, frankly, it wouldn't be good for the environment. You just can't go drop. I'm sorry. So, okay, we know what you are. So you're not a Democrat, huh? Listen, I got news for you. Listen, right here, I'm not a Republican either. You're looking at a monarchist. Okay, that's what I am. Almost done. Increased Muslim attacks against Christians and Jews worldwide. That's already started. That's going to increase. The FBI has warned, I already told you this, the FBI has warned law enforcement officials in 12 U.S. cities regarding credible threats against non-Muslim houses of worship, specifically those of Jewish and Christian faith. By the way, since that warning came out, did you know every synagogue, I've been told, in Israel, and now it's in New York, and I guess it's spreading to the West Coast, every synagogue now has at least four armed men who know how to use that weapon in a synagogue. I think it's a great idea. And I'm glad that this church is protected. I want you to know that your children are protected across the way also. I'll tell you something. I don't know how long it's been. I almost asked somebody. I would have given them away, huh? Shortly after September 11th, I remember being here on a Wednesday night and we were worshiping the Lord. And I was thinking about the safety of this flock and should something happen and the areas of exit and how can the people be taken care of. And the Lord laid on my heart, Jack, these people are fine in here. They're well protected in here. But the little ones. I got up. I walked out. I went directly across the street. And God had three other brothers thinking the same thoughts. And we met across the way instantaneously. And all three of these brothers would be well able to take care of themselves, if you know what I mean. And God was speaking to them too. And they said, we'll take it from here. And I tell you what happened. I said, thank you guys. Praise the Lord. I turned and I walked away and the Lord laid this on my heart. Jack, how did Satan attack my people in Israel? He attacked the children first. How did Satan attack my people in Israel? When Jesus was born, he attacked the children first. It is the extreme Muslim way to attack. They attack the innocent first. Look at history and look at your current papers. Look at your news today. You can expect an increased domestic attack against points of interest and significance. Yes, Disneyland is on that list. There's an official list. Points of interest in California. Targeted by extremists. Hezbollah will continue to attack Israel from the north unless Israel deals with them. Syria is amassing, as I said. Or did I say this? Did I tell you Israel's amassing forces along the Israeli-Syrian border? Reported tonight on MSNBC and on CNN. And now I see something. Oh, yeah, another thing. America. Yeah, all this is news about America attacking Iraq. And tonight, Benjamin Netanyahu said that with the information Israel has supplied America in intelligence, there is no way, he said, quote, Benjamin Netanyahu, there is no way that America can afford not to attack Iraq. It is that dangerous. Now, I don't know what Israel supplied to us, but if you remember, Israel, quite a few years ago, took out Iraq's ability to finalize their nuclear bomb. Remember that? And the world condemned Israel for its actions until a UN group went in and found out that they were making a nuclear bomb and Israel saved the world. So whatever's going on in Iraq, the experts are saying, Tony Cortison, a military news analyst, said last night that he has no doubt in his mind that the United States will respond and must respond against Iraq and its military buildup. That leads to this final consideration. I see now something more clearly than ever before regarding Ezekiel chapter 38 in Russia. Russia does not want to go to war with anybody. They don't. I look at Russia now in a whole different way. Of course, we've all loved Russia for so long. Many of us have been there so many times. We love the people. But Russia just wants to join the rest of the world. They want to be normal. And you know what? They're not going to get a chance to be normal. Because now something makes very, very, very clear sense to me now. In Ezekiel, it says that of the uttermost parts of the north, the word in the Hebrew is furthest point north of Jerusalem, is Moscow. It says that God will put a hook into Russia's jaw and pull them out of the north. And if you read Ezekiel 38, all of the nations that come with Israel are all Muslim nations. They're listed there by name. In fact, it looks like our old loony friend gets back in the game. Remember Wacky Gaddafi? Muammar Gaddafi? It says in the Bible, especially the old King James, you know what it calls the country that Gaddafi leads? Libya, right? That's the name of the place. Do you know what the Bible calls Libya? Anybody know? Libya. It calls it Libya. Yeah, well, maybe somebody wrote that in there a couple years ago. Nobody. It's been there for about 2,752 years. Ethiopia is mentioned by name. Sheba and Dedan, Saudi Arabia. Persia. If you ever meet an Iranian, don't ever call them. Don't ever say, oh, you're an Iranian. They'll say, no, I'm Persian. There are Iraqis who will say they're Persian also. That's interesting. Read Ezekiel chapter 38 and now consider this. Russia doesn't want to fight anybody. That's why the Bible says there'll be a hook put in her jaw and she'll be pulled out of her furthest most parts of the north. See, she doesn't want to come, but she's going to have to come. And it may very well be because she has signed multiple arms treaties with Iran and Iraq to supply them with weaponry should they enter war. And it may be because there are more Muslims living in Russia than any other professing faith. Russia is in a tough spot. Ladies and gentlemen, we end with this. Pray with your brains engaged now. Not that you weren't before, but pray like you never have before. Pray with intelligence. Pray with fervency. People, prepare to meet the Lord Jesus. Because you know what? We could get raptured tonight. If we don't, we could all die of old age soon. We could slip in a banana peel. Somebody could stand up and say, Allah is great. And we could all see Jesus. And I don't know where he's going, but he's not going to see Jesus. You never know. But are you ready to meet the Lord? Vote for candidates that are pro-Israeli. Well, I'm not Jewish. I'm not Jewish either. Just don't tick God off. Get educated about biblical and secular history. It's really important now. Learn how to evangelize. Learn how to tell people about Jesus while you still have time. I tell you. I'm hoping you're all from Calvary Chapel here. If you're not, just pretend you are. But if you get up there and God says, you know, I sent all these people right before the rapture came. I sent all these people for you to share with. And you didn't do it. Okay, don't say you're from this church when you're up there. Because I'll come over in the Lord and I'll just slap you in the face. Because we've got classes to teach you on how to evangelize people. Okay? Start telling people. Hey, man, did you see the news? You see the... It's all about Jerusalem and Israel, man. Old Bible names. Isn't that amazing? Hey, Jesus said there'd be days just like this. Isn't that amazing? Just open the door and watch what people say. Really? Really means, tell me more. Really means, wow. What else do you have to tell me? And finally, don't get up in the morning and leave your bed without asking God to fill you with His Holy Spirit. Don't do it. You get hurt that way. Make sure your life is hot with God. And I know in a crowd this size, some of you are just not into current events. Well, I am. So that's I'll tell you what I can. But there's nothing like being there yourself. Know what's going on. It's very important. Pray for the United States. Pray for our president. These are serious times. I believe in the next 14 days, there'll be some very critical things taking place. And we need to be like the sons of Issachar, who discerned the times in which they lived, and they understood what Israel should do. Well, let us discern the times in which we live, and know what the church should do. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Father, we thank you for this time. And Lord, we just ask in Jesus' name that you would take our hearts and ignite them. And Father, we pray tonight that we would all check our heart's pulse to determine, to discern that we are children of the living God. And we thank you that welcome mat is open to everybody. To the religious person who thinks they're a Christian, to even if there be tonight in here, a Muslim extremist who thinks that this Allah that they worship is the God of the Bible, which he is not. Your reach is not beyond what man can concoct. And so, Father, in Jesus' name we pray that you would seize the hearts of all those that are here, and that they would rest in the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross 2,000 years ago for all their sins. A Jew hung on the cross. God in Jewish skin. Lord, certainly I would imagine that is the yet another reason why the world hates the Jews. There's this spiritual sickness that you chose this people to reveal yourself through. But the fact of the matter is, God, you chose Jewish skin to live in. It wasn't black, wasn't white, wasn't yellow, wasn't red. You picked the people, your Bible says, who were goofy, stubborn, little, weak, and obnoxious. And you said, those are the ones that I'm going to show my mercy through. He died on the cross 2,000 years ago, my friend. And 3 days later, according to the Bible, according to Bible prophecy, Jesus said it himself. And lo and behold, on Easter morning, Jesus rose from the dead. and this whole thing that's going on in the world. Don't close a blind eye to